Hello again, my name is Roger Pasco. Welcome to another broadcast of Transforming Grace. This broadcast is brought to you by the Institute for Biblical Preaching in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. It's a pleasure to bring you these messages from God's Word and to be changed by its transforming power through God's transforming grace. And we're just trusting God today that His grace will touch your life as you follow along with this next message from John's Gospel, chapter 6. Those of you who have been listening to these broadcasts on a regular basis will remember that we're working our way through the 7 supernatural deeds or miracles that Jesus performed and which are recorded in the Gospel of John. Last time we finished John's Gospel, chapter 5, that records the feeding of the 5,000. And today we come to John's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, where Jesus walks on the water. The title for this message is Rediscovering Jesus, or you could say, Seeing Jesus in the Storm. And we're going to begin at verse 16 of John's Gospel, chapter 6. Before we do so, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for another good day under your grace and your mercy to us. And we pray today that you would pour out a blessing from heaven upon us as we study your word. We pray that I will be able to teach it clearly and accurately, and that those listening to my voice will understand it well and take it into their lives and respond to its truth. We pray that your Holy Spirit would change our lives so that we are more like you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your worthy name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to begin reading at verse 16 of John's Gospel, chapter 6. This is what it says. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. This then is the word of the Lord. Unexpected events sometimes rock our lives. Perhaps it's a sudden turn of events with your health. Some years ago, a very good friend of ours got sick, and they thought it was a cold, and then they thought it was pneumonia. And eventually, after months of being on medications and then having tests done, they discovered that he had lung cancer. And not many months later, he passed away and went to be with the Lord. So perhaps it's a sudden turn of events with your health, or perhaps it's a sudden loss of employment. My late father-in-law lost his job after working for the same company for 36 years. Or perhaps a car crash suddenly changes your life, as it did in the case of a friend of ours who, a few years ago, was driving in a car with his son-in-law and his grandson. And we still don't know what happened, but somehow he lost the sense of where he was going, and the car went off the road and crashed, and his son-in-law was tragically killed. Or perhaps it's the untimely death of a loved one, as in the case of my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, who was strong and fit, and as far as we could tell, very healthy, but all of a sudden was struck with a stroke, and a few days later he died. These kinds of crises seem to come out of nowhere, don't they? With no warning. And what do you say? What do you say when your world is turned upside down? What do you do when the ground beneath you, that once felt so solid and so stable, unexpectedly shifts like an earthquake? To whom do you turn when your life seems to be spinning out of control? Well, undoubtedly, many of you who are listening today can give examples of events, unexpected events, that have come into your life and have suddenly changed the whole direction of your life. So I want to talk today about how God uses events in our lives to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to us, and in which events we rediscover who He really is. And so the message today, if we were to summarize it in one sentence, is this: we rediscover who Jesus is when we recognize Him and receive Him into all of our circumstances. After feeding the 5,000 in John's Gospel, chapter 5, Jesus dismissed the crowds, and He sent the disciples off in a boat, and He Himself went up in the mountain alone. Matthew says in his Gospel that Jesus made His disciples get into the boat, as though somehow they were unwilling to get into the boat. Perhaps they didn't want to go on their own, or perhaps they wanted to go with Him up to the mountain. It doesn't say what the reason is, but they obeyed Jesus anyway and set off at evening toward Capernaum, only to run right into the eye of a raging storm. You see, troubles arise at the most unexpected times. Troubles arise when we're being obedient to God. That's something that sometimes we don't think about. Sometimes we think that troubles come because we're walking in disobedience to the Lord, or He's trying to teach us something. But in this lesson today, I want you to notice that troubles arise when we're being obedient to God, the very time when you'd least expect them. Here in our story, the disciples were exactly where Jesus wanted them. They were in the boat, and they were doing exactly what He wanted them to do. They were crossing over to the other side. They didn't start out in a storm, but they ran right into the storm as they were being obedient to God. Just when they least expected it, the sudden gale arose, as it commonly did on that lake. See, troubles arise at the most unexpected times, even when we're being obedient to God and doing His will. Obedience to God doesn't protect us against problems. In fact, contrary to what some health and wealth preachers would say, obedience to God may lead you right into the eye of a storm. Often we associate difficulties in our lives with disobedience. We think that Christians somehow have a detour around difficulties, so that when storms come, we stop to try to figure out what's happening. The first thing we try to figure out is, Lord, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why did I lose my job, when others who care nothing about You are still working? Why did I contract this illness, when others who live careless lives are perfectly healthy? Often we never know the answer to those questions. Many times God brings crises into our lives so that we can hear Him in a way that we don't hear Him when everything is going smoothly. So troubles arise when we're being obedient to God, and troubles arise when we're least able to handle them. When we're in those dark times of our lives, when we're stranded, when we're alone, or when we're afraid, that's when the storms seem most ferocious, and that's when we're least able to handle them. The disciples had been caught in a storm on this lake before, but it was daylight then, and Jesus was with them. That's recorded in Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. But now it's nighttime, and Jesus is not with them. And so they must have felt deserted. They must have felt isolated. They must have felt alone. Probably they felt afraid. They may have even had bad feelings towards Jesus for doing this to them. Perhaps they even might have said the same as the last time. Don't you care that we're perishing? You see, the Christian life is not for fair-weather sailors. It's a constant struggle. It requires persistent effort. But the cold wind that sometimes beats on our heads and the spray that washes into our faces should never deter us in our Christian lives. Sailing in the summertime is certainly nice, but winter storms brace us. They call out our deepest resources. They make us better sailors. They enable us to handle all kinds of weather. We must view unexpected events as training sessions in our Christian lives, training sessions that develop our spiritual muscles, training sessions that put spiritual color in our cheeks, training sessions that help us build up our spiritual endurance. So storms arise, troubles arise at the most unexpected times. Those times when we're being obedient to God, and those times when we're least able to handle these crises that come from time to time. Notice secondly, not only do troubles arise at the most unexpected times, but troubles arise for the most unexpected discoveries. Through troubles, we discover our weakness. We discover the inadequacy of our human resources. The disciples did the best they could. They rowed, it says, about 3 or 4 miles. They kept at it until the early hours of the morning, perhaps until 3 or 4 a.m., as Mark 6 and verse 48 tells us. They fought the storm for some 7 to 8 hours, and they got nowhere. These men were experienced seamen. They were experienced sailors. They were confident in their own abilities. They knew how to handle a boat. They'd sailed a boat on this sea for many years. And as far as they were concerned, perhaps they thought that they didn't need Jesus' help. But they forgot their previous experience on this lake. They hadn't learned from the time before that they certainly needed Jesus. Instead, they tried to fight the storm in their own strength. God uses crises. God uses troubles to reveal the inadequacy of our human resources. You know, when you test something, you expose its weakest point. Sometimes it's difficult to identify your own weaknesses, isn't it? If someone were to ask you, what are you the worst at? What are your weaknesses? Perhaps, what are the weaknesses in the job you do? Or what are the weaknesses in your relationships? Or what are the weaknesses in your personality or your character? I think sometimes it's very hard for us to analyze ourselves objectively. Perhaps your weak point is in your stubbornness. Or perhaps your weak point is your temper. Or perhaps you have a quick tongue that says things that hurt other people's feelings. Perhaps your weak point is that you don't keep your word. You tell people you're going to do such and such, and you don't do it. Perhaps you have weak points not only in your character, but in your conduct or your values. And troubles expose our weakness and our self-reliance. They show us that we prefer to rely on ourselves and not on God. So, through storms, we discover our weakness. We discover the inadequacy of our human resources, and we discover the obscurity of our human perspective. Look at this. Just when the disciples needed Jesus most, Jesus appeared. Verse 19 says, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near to the boat. But they didn't recognize him. They thought he was a ghost, according to Matthew 14 and verse 26. It seems like they almost suffered from short-sightedness. Certainly they had blurred vision. They were looking at Jesus from an obscured perspective. They didn't see him with the clarity that they normally did. So that instead of rejoicing, they were afraid. Perhaps they were afraid because they had never seen anyone walk on water before. Or perhaps they were afraid because, according to their Jewish myths and folklore, storms were a form of demonic activity, so that they may have understood this storm raging on the sea as the activity of the devil and his demons, who were mad for some reason. Now, of course, we know that that isn't true. We know that that is just stories that were handed down during their time. But perhaps that was a reason why they were afraid. We don't know that. In a crisis, our eye of faith may become blurred. We're so convinced, perhaps, that God has abandoned us that we don't even expect him to come to us. And when he does, we must take him for a ghost, for some kind of an apparition, something that is not even human. We don't even know who he is sometimes. Instead of rejoicing, we tremble. Instead of rejoicing, we tremble. We become so focused on the task at hand, on dealing with this crisis, or in this case, the disciples were so focused on pulling on the oars of their boat in order to try to deal with this raging storm, that we don't pay attention to who is coming toward us. The fierceness of the gale so fills our eyes with tears that our vision of Jesus is obscured, and we're afraid, and we shrink back from him. Well, I think the lesson here is don't get so focused on the storm that you lose sight of the Savior. Don't let circumstances obscure your recognition of God. Don't let circumstances lessen your dependence on him. Don't be persuaded that Christ's presence is anything but absolutely real. Troubles arise in our lives for the most unexpected discoveries. Through troubles we discover our weakness. And notice secondly, through troubles we discover Jesus' greatness. We discover in the troubles of our lives that Jesus is our eternal God. Look at what it says in verse 20. Jesus said to them, "It is I." Now this expression was probably one of the most wonderful phrases to the ear of a Jewish believer. "It is I." Literally, Jesus said, "I am." Of course, this is the same phrase that Moses heard at the burning bush. God told Moses to go and lead his people out of Egypt, and Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God said to Moses, "Tell them that I am has sent me to you." That's in Exodus 3, verse 14. Now, why did God call himself "I am"? We kind of think that there's something missing from that sentence. We want to say, well, I am what? Did he mean I am God Almighty? Did he mean that I am Elohim, the Creator God? Did he mean I am Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides? What did he mean when he said "I am"? Why did he use that expression, "I am"? Well, perhaps he used that expression because the problem of the people of Israel wasn't knowing what God can do, but it was knowing who God is. They had been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. All of the old forefathers, all of the patriarchs were dead. And the experiences of Abraham were just stories now that they passed on from father to son. The experiences of Isaac and Jacob with God were only stories now. It was long distant history. and they needed to rediscover and know God again. And so God said to Moses, "Tell them that I am sent you. Because if they know who I am, then they will know what I can do." And isn't that true in our lives? That we look for God to disclose to us his activity, his works, his great deeds, his power. But what we really need to know is who God is in his person. We need to develop and deepen our relationship with him. We need to know the heart of God more and more. We don't need to be going out looking for signs and wonders, as we've talked about before. We don't need to be going looking for the activity of God in our lives and his power extended on our behalf, although that's what we tend to want. What we need to do is to spend more time getting to know God through his word, through our relationship with him, through prayer, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to our hearts and our minds, so that the more that we understand the character of God, the more we enter into the nature of who God is, the more we will be secure in God and trust God and have confidence in him no matter what our circumstances might be. You see, if our relationship with God is dependent upon our circumstances, that relationship is going to change all the time, isn't it? One time when things are going smooth, we'll be so glowing about our Christianity and about who God is and all of the blessings that he showers upon us. But another time when things turn bad and life is tough and crises arise and unexpected troubles come into our lives, then what are you going to do? Then are you going to turn against God and start to complain as the children of Israel did in the wilderness? No, what we need is we need to understand who God is and to deepen our relationship with him and our commitment to him so that our hearts are full of love for him. That's what gives us strength and confidence and stability in our Christian lives. Well, I hope that that's true in your life, that you're spending time in God's word to know him more, and you're praying to him on a regular basis and generally living your life in a communion with him so that your relationship with God is strong no matter what your circumstances. Well, that's all we have time for today. I'm going to pray as we close. Lord, thank you for this wonderful lesson from this very simple story in John's Gospel chapter 6. I pray that you would impress this upon the hearts and minds of all of my listeners today, and I pray that they will deepen their relationship with you in the days to come. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.